It was a sad day on Golgotha, place of the skull, whenever they crucified Jesus. I think about his mother. Had to be tough to watch her son die like that. There were several of them that were there that loved him. And at first, I think they stood kind of close to the cross. But I think after Jesus said to John, "This is your mother, take your mother," I think they must have moved back. Maybe, because since he had spoken to them, that maybe that might draw attention to them, and maybe they were afraid, maybe. Probably because it just was so hard to watch him. Mark said in Mark 15 and verse 40, he said that there were also some women looking from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Josie and Salome. In John 19 verse 26, John said he was there. Of course, we know he was because Jesus had spoken personally to him. But it was hard to watch Jesus die on the cross because they loved him so much. And last week, Pete did an excellent job of reminding us about the horror of the cross. What, from a medical doctor's perspective about the death of Jesus, how that when he was in the garden and he was so stressed in his prayer, so intense that sweat is drops of blood, Pete told us how that was medically possible, that a person could become so stressed that his capillaries would burst in his forehead and in his eyes. So blood would come. So it was a hard time. It was a hard time and a hard death to be crucified, put to death that way. In fact, Cicero said about crucifixion, he said, "It is the most cruel and disgusting penalty, the worst extreme of the tortures inflicted upon slaves." He further went on to say, "The very word cross should be far removed not only from the person of a Roman citizen, but from his thoughts, his eyes, and his ears." Seneca wrote that it was the accursed tree. Josephus called it a most miserable death. It was horrible. It was so horrible that there was a Roman decree that no Roman citizen should ever be crucified. In fact, again, for the prestigious Roman, you did not even speak the word cross. But it wasn't just the agony and the horror of the cross. That was bad enough. But the mockery that continued by the chief priest and the scribes, the thieves that were crucified with Jesus, mocked him, poured their salty words into his wounds. Tough time. Hard day. Isn't it kind of strange that other than John, the apostles weren't there? Now, secular writings have said that Peter was standing off, way off on a hill, still following afar off, I guess. I don't know. I do know that that thinking about that crucifixion, it just hard to think about. I cannot even imagine being there. If you'd been there, but you know, the point that I want to make today, what I want us to talk about today, is that if the only thing we see when we think of the cross is the blood and the pain and the horror and the inhumanity, then we miss the heart of the meaning of the cross. By that I mean, in the cross, we get a picture of the heart of God as in nothing else that we can see. When we look at the cross, we can see the very heart of God. And it's so important. That's so important for us. And so I want us to look there today. When I say that we can see the heart of God, one of the things we see at the cross is we see God's heart of integrity. By that I mean the promises, all the promises that God had made concerning our redemption were fulfilled that day on Calvary. Promises that He had made through all the time, through the Mosaic, the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaical dispensation. Every sacrifice that was made during those times that God promised to roll the sins forward to a time whenever they would be forgiven. This was that time. God had put this plan of salvation into motion from the very beginning of the world. We read this very truth. It says that in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Titus 1 and verse 2. And that long ages ago, the Greek there literally means before time eternal. And actually, the American Standard Version renders it that way. Before time eternal. This was God's plan to save us. from the very beginning. And so what we see in the cross is the heart of the integrity of God, that He keeps His promises. He keeps His promises even if it cost Him His Son. That's how much truth God is. That bespeaks the integrity of God. So by the very blood of Jesus, you can know that if God gives us a promise, He's going to keep it. Because He has sealed it with blood. And so when we look at the cross, if we'll look beyond that agony of pain, we see God's integrity. Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says it this way: "For as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are yes." God said yes to all the promises that He had made mankind. His sacrifice was one of a kind, Hebrews 10 and verse 4. It was once and for all, Hebrews 9 and verse 28. It was the one that completed all of the others, Hebrews 10 and verse 18. One thing we see in the cross of Jesus is we see God's heart of integrity. But not only that, in the cross, we see God's righteous heart. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the cross was God's way of rejecting sin and rescuing His people. Galatians 1 and verse 4. God can never wink at sin. He can never overlook sin. He does not tempt any man with sin. He cannot be tempted with sin. We read in James chapter 1 and verse 13. And in Exodus 34 and verse 7. But what these two passages do is that they show us that God deals with sin. He's not going to overlook your sin or mine. Paul, in two passages particularly, makes this true, this thought true, about the righteousness of the heart of God. One is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, that's where He said He made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become, now watch this, the righteousness of God in Him. Paul says that when Jesus went to the cross, that it established the righteousness of God. That He made Him, this statement right here, people, that He made Him to know sin, who knew no sin, for us, on our behalf. I don't know if we grasp that. Because to fully grasp and understand what that means will literally change your life. Because I go back and think about Jesus in the garden. when he was praying and sweat his drops of blood. His prayer was, Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me. Most people think he was talking about the cross. And as horrible and as inhumane as that wasn't what he was afraid. He wasn't afraid, but that's what was stressing him out right there. It was the fact that he was going to have to take the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. Can you just imagine the weight of the sins of the whole world? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's, David's, Noah's, yours, mine. The whole world sins put on his shoulders. It was a huge, huge thing. And Jesus dreaded it because God couldn't be there to help him carry it. Because God can't be where sin is because of his righteousness. And so Jesus foresaw that he was going to carry this alone, which caused him to cry, "My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me?" It was a tough time. It was a hard time. And Jesus knew it was going to be tough. And yet he still goes to the cross because he loves you. The other passage of Scripture that Paul uses to illustrate this point of the righteousness of God is Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. It's the one that Mike read for you a moment ago. That being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly. This was God's public display of his righteousness, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. That means a payment. In his blood through faith, this was to demonstrate, God said, his righteousness. When you look at the cross, you see a demonstration, Paul said, of God's righteousness. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Paul explains that the cross itself took the form of a public demonstration of the righteousness of God. God's forbearance. God's forgiveness. God's future justification of all mankind. No one can look at the cross through these two passages and not see the righteousness of God. And then, this morning, finally, at the cross, we see God's love, his heart of love, of course. Because every drop of blood that fell from the cross that day had an eternity of divine love in it. God loved you that much. All of our children, grandchildren, I think probably do this, you know, how much do you love me? And they say, oh, I love you this much. But my Kristen, when she was little, I'd say, how much do you love Papa Baby? And she would stretch those arms like that, and then she would stand as high on her little old tiptoes as she could possibly get, like that was going to make it stretch out further or something. And she'd say, Papa, I just love you this much. And she'd get up on her little old tiptoes. Of course, Papa would take her in his arms and hug her and say, baby, I love you too, this much. Well, that is exactly what God was saying. I love you this much. And in the cross, we see that great, great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and gave himself for us, Paul said. So much love in the cross. Paul expressed it this way in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. When he said, for one hardly would die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One doesn't have to read very far in the New Testament or the Old Testament to see the love of God. But right here, on that old horrible day, on that horrible hill, with that horrible death, which speaks louder than anything else of the great love of God. And Paul saw it as Jesus dying for him. If you were the only one in the world, if you were to ever have a chance, Jesus would have had to die for you. And Paul sees it that way here in Galatians 2 and verse 20 when he said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He loved me and died for me, Paul said. Now Paul knew he died for you. But it meant so much to Paul to know he died for me, Paul said. He said, that's why I live for him. The rest of that verse says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And that's why he was able. Paul was able to be who he was and suffer like he did as a Christian because Jesus had died, Paul said, for me. And so in the cross, horrible as it was, we can see the heart of integrity that God has, keeps his promises. We can see the righteous heart of God, that he's just, he loves us, but he will not let sin go unpaid. There was a debt, You owed a debt. I owed a debt. Mankind owed a debt that we could not pay because we owed life. And so it had to be Him who was without sin to take our sin to pay our debt of a debt He didn't owe. One we couldn't pay. That's the righteousness of God. And then through the cross, we see the love of God. Cannot help but think, why did God love me that much? It's overwhelming. I apologize for this morning, but I just can't preach about the cross and not touch my heart, because I just cannot. I cannot believe that God loved me that much. And you know what? He loves you that much too. And all He's asking in return is, give me your life. Give me your obedience. Give me back your love. And we do that by believing His great truths, repenting of our sins, confessing that He is the Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins, buried in baptism like His Christ, buried into His death, and raised to walk in newness of life. We do that by living the Christian life the best that we can do. And we've always known that if we wandered away, can always come back home. Because you've got a Father that never, ever, ever quits loving you. I am thankful. I am thankful for the old rugged cross. I am thankful for the love of God and my Master that saved me. Will you come while together we stand and sing?